Welcome to Dithering on the Edge of Europe, the podcast about what it feels like to be European and live in the UK. I am Carola Boom. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm Rich McCarthy.
I'm Carola Boom.
And I'm thrown off on the thing there. So
yes, you don't need to read on. But we're going to do something fun today.
Yes, I'm all ready to be funned up by you.
We're sitting here on the same side of the desk. Normally we sit opposing each other.
That's right, ready to batter each other like in the House Commons.
Yes, exactly, with a little iPhone in the middle of us. Because we're going to look at little iPhone apps related to European Union
things. I think most of them are available on other phones as well.
Yeah, yeah.
On Android phones too.
Exactly, but we are looking at it on an iPhone. Right, shall we get to it?
Okay, let's go. So the first app that we're going to be looking at, Carol, is getting things up, at least on the phone anyway.
Oops. Yes, the first app we're going to look at is actually one which we have encountered before, but this gives us a nice opportunity to actually recapture that, and that is...
the EU Charter app.
Yes, so it's an app which has all the articles of the EU Charter.
Which is great. Just to read them very quickly, there's the Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union, the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights.
Yes. So there's no information.
Tells you about the European Agency, yes, and the European Commission and the European Parliament.
So if I go into the articles, that's the nice thing. And of course, we did all the chapters of the charter. And here we have them all in color coded.
Wow.
It's quite handy to have. So we can look, for instance, at the preamble that we like so much. And it comes up. And then if you have your binocular glasses on, you can read
there
that.
There it is. Well, not if you put too close, because I can't see it there
because
I'm wearing my glasses. And now I'm getting to get long-sighted with glasses. So the peoples of Europe, in creating an ever closer union among them, are resolved to share a peaceful future based on common values.
And then if I, for
which is
instance,
a perfect thing to listen to on today, on Remembrance Sunday.
Yes, it's all about peace, isn't it?
Mm.
And you will see that if I just go into an article like Human Dignity from the first...
from chapter one.
Chapter, India is... the paragraph itself, human dignity is inviolable. It must be respected and protected. But then there are also links to explanations relating to the charter. There's related case law and there's related FRA publications.
So this was where you're getting all your insights from when we went through things.
Yes. So for instance, related case law, we can see here related case law exists in the Court of Justice of the European Union, as well as in the national courts. And if I go to the European Court of Justice, I can see case C-233/18/opinion.
Yeah, we don't need to know that. But there's like eight or nine cases, yeah. I think, there.
So, of course, you know, for a lawyer, it's brilliant. Mm. For somebody studying law.
Or anybody wanting to take a case to European law, you know, their own case or something like that, or thinking about taking something to European legislation, I suppose, then they can look through stuff like that.
So it's a nice one.
Yep.
It has a share
good,
button.
Very informative.
So one could actually share an article as well on Twitter.
Yeah, but not
or
with
either.
A number of people who listen to this podcast.
It's like everyone knows the charter.
That would be
articles.
Three people all at the same time.
Yes. Right. So that was the first one. If you want to get the EU Charter, just search on the App Store, EU Charter, and it's developed by the European Union Apps. So if you just search EU Charter, European Union apps, you will find it. But we'll have the links as well.
So that seems pretty good. Very informative.
You're going to like the next one. The next one is something similar to what you've had before. And I'm going to let you play that. So if you just click on that and
what
you have a play. The second. Yes.
European countries. European countries. So it opens up and there's 9 little sections. Okay, so European countries, so there's maps, flags, capitals, currencies and all topics, flashcards, table, rate this app, settings and other apps.
So this is a bit of a game.
So maps, we can go for a multiple choice and it comes up with a map of the whole of Europe and one country is highlighted. I think that country would be... gosh.
I think it's Hungary.
I don't think it is. I was thinking maybe Hungary. I think Hungary's bigger than that. I think it's Bosnia and Herzegovina. But we'll go with Hungary, your guess.
Ta-da!
Oh, it is.
I'm correct.
Hungary it is.
So this one is certainly not Turkey. It's
I think
not
that's Macedonia.
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
So you can Georgia. Train yourself to know all the countries in Europe.
Yeah, and it's really, it's great fun using an app to learn.
You had a similar one, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a one that would do the whole world and stuff like that. But it's great. It is fun to look
at. Yeah, this is one which just focuses on Europe.
And of course, get to know Europe first, then you can go on to other things.
Yes. And of course, it also has flags, which is quite nice.
Yeah, that's really nifty. And it's nice to know all the flags. I think that would be...
Greece, I think.
I think you're right.
I almost want to say Finland, but Finland has just one cross and Greece has
flat,
the same
I
color.
I think that's Estonia.
Yeah, certainly not Denmark or United Kingdom or Bulgaria. So I think you're right. Yes.
Ukraine, gosh.
I think it's this one, but I'm not
too.
Sure.
Ukraine, we're thinking it's a flat blue bar above a flat yellow bar. And we're right.
Yes.
And I think that might be...
I think that's Portugal.
A white bar above a green bar above a red bar, all thirds of the map. Oh, am I wrong? Is it Serbia?
Might be.
No, it's not Serbia. Oh, gosh. Sorry, everybody. Bulgaria? Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so we'll stop there.
After
we don't want to show how ignorant we are.
But this is an app called European Countries Maps Quiz by Andrei Zoloviev. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correct. It should have a pronunciation. But besides doing flags and countries, in each of those categories, it also has a quiz and it has a timed competition as well.
Should we just have a quick look at currencies and all topics?
Yeah, so it has maps, flags...
Capitals. We did this already.
Oh, currencies.
Yeah. Currencies and all topics. So
that's easy for the European Union.
For most of it, yes. Okay. The currency of Germany is the euro. So that is Skopje, maybe.
-5.
Tirana, then. Bulgaria. We did Bulgaria, so that should be Bulgaria. Yes. Okay. So it's fun to have a go at. Fun to help you get to know the European flags, the European capitals.
And it has sort of a table where you can look up
good. Oh, gosh, because lots of other places you can't do that. And you have to keep playing and playing and playing. And I like learning like this first and then playing.
In a table, yes. Yeah. It doesn't have currencies here. It just has country, capital and flag.
Probably they got rid of the currencies because there's only a couple of places in Europe that have something other than euro.
Maybe. Right, so that's...
us being one of them.
European Countries Maps Quiz by Andrei Zoloviev.
Super. Yeah, that gets the thumbs up. Great thing to give your kid when they are mithering and you want something to keep them occupied. You know, you're waiting in a queue or something like that. That would be brilliant because they get to learn about Europe as well as, you know, they get to learn facts about the real world as well as being quiet.
Yeah, I should say, there are a lot of sort of maps quizzes out there. And I think the one that you had was the whole world, but then you could say, I just only want to do Europe.
You had to, yeah, generally,
yeah.
I think.
So it's good. And I should actually note
well, Europe or South America or whatever.
But. Yeah, that we might not encounter any apps that we think don't quite work because I'm not choosing them for us to have a look at.
Okay. Are you going to do a list of maps that don't quite work or not?
A list of apps that don't quite work. Well, we can go into, I've got a folder there, which is called Ditch.
Okay, maybe we shouldn't do that though. Maybe it's not so nice to put down, apps. So I have a list of rubbish, what we think are rubbish apps or something.
So these are rather, you know, the first five of my top 10 European related apps.
First five, even though there are six of them there.
But you'll see by I'll say five, two of them are quite similar to each other.
Oh yeah, okay. What the EPAR are those the next two that we're coming to?
Right, so the next one is this one, which is the European Parliament Research Service by again European Union apps. Or when you look in the app store, it's EP Research Service. And if we remember, we just talked in the last episode about transparency. in order mm-hmm. for a public audience to scrutinize the processes. And, you know, I assume this is one attempt. All of this is, of course, also on the website of the European Union. But here it's in a very, very nice app. So you see the latest publications. And for instance, the latest publication on here from 8th November 2019 is Russia and Africa, a new arena of geopolitical competition. And when you go into it, it has a short description. And then sometimes it has only an English PDF, a longer sort of document, and sometimes it has various languages, but you can click on that PDF and then you have wow. 2 to 10 page briefings about, in this case, this geopolitical competition in relation to Russia and Africa.
So do you know, is that the sort of thing that actually MEPs get when they're considering things?
I assume that MEPs get told and shown how to use this app.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a vote, and of course then there is a briefing, you can then read the materials here in digital form.
And then you can get onto your MEP and say, I'd like you to vote this way, please, or that way, or yeah. whatever.
Yeah. And just to go through that, so it has latest publications, which has everything, but there are different types of publications. There are these briefs at a glance. So, for instance, if you look at what's there, European Parliament and the path to German reunification, because, of course, we just had the Remembrance Day.
30 years.
30 since. Years of the fall of the wall. So from the 5th of November, there was this briefing, at a glance briefing. And so it has a little description. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. You know, just one paragraph about that. And then there's again a PDF. And the PDF just takes a minute to load.
It's a bit of a longer one this time, I think. Oh, no.
And it tells you the whole history from 1989. It tells you also what happened in relation to that. It's just 2 pages long, but it tells you the context of that. And so when you need to, as a MEP or as anybody involved in politics, policy or history, it's a very easy way just to get a short briefing in order to have an informed stance on which to make any kind of decisions on.
Yeah, or just a regular person. It's nice to get this information easily.
Yes. But amongst there is also the Lux Prize, showcasing European cinema. So, you know, it suggests that every year since 2007, the European Parliament Lux Film Prize has shown a spotlight on European cinema. And again, you know, when you click on the PDF, you have also some infographics of how many films were made, how many festivals we have in Europe, film festivals. And again, you know, and of course, for me, it's quite easy then to do a screenshot and actually tweet it just to share what the European Union has actually accomplished.
It's cool. Great.
So that was the at a glance. And then we have briefings, officially briefings, which are longer. We have in-depth analysis. So we have...
I imagine this is going to be a bit longer, isn't it?
Possibly. So that's a whole 44-page PDF, all about EU competition policy and a subtitle, Key to a Fair Single Market. So it's an in-depth analysis of the issues.
Super.
Yeah, it's. I have to say, it is great.
It's fabulous. All that information at your fingertips.
A last category is study, and I assume those are the largest documents. So here's a document from 7th of November, Geographical Indications for Non-Agricultural Products. And so if you go into the PDF, it's a 70-page document.
Right.
So.
Okay, that's really interesting.
And you can shortlist things to your reading list. You can search, of course, for certain terms. You can search for certain policy areas.
Wow. You could send yourself to sleep every night with that.
Yes, exactly.
Oh. And still, there'd be tons to keep going.
Well, I think some of that would be probably quite riveting.
Okay. So that's the EPRS, or the European Parliament's...
Research Service. European Union apps. Right. The next one is the Citizens app. Now, this was created, commissioned by the European Union, but it's created by Agile Partner.
I think I've seen this a little bit before. I didn't use it very much, but you showed it to me at some point in the past.
And when you open it, it has these, you know, little intro sessions. You know, it's supposed to be Europe in the palm of your hand. It allows you to see what is near you, so you can enter a location and find about any kind of initiatives that were funded by the European Union. It has citizen stories, so it has documentation, whether by podcast, video, or by written word. Stories about European citizens.
I'm talking to you from a most historic place. I'm sitting in the very chair
It has sort of innovation-focused things under the title of Discover the Future of Europe, so trends that will shape society. And then as a fourth category, it has Europe and my life, Europe and my job, hobbies and family.
Most people, most citizens do not wake up in the morning worrying about the future of Europe or their vision for Europe. They care that when they get up in the morning, they have jobs to go to, that they have a good health service, and that their children are going to have good life choices.
And of course, it also has a section where you can actually ask things yourself, where you ask the parliament something in order to get an answer back.
That's great, because it makes it so much easier to just put something in to this.
Yeah, there have been several apps where you can put something in, and some better than others, you know, so it's a work in progress, you know. So you see at the bottom there's home, there's sort of, you can see things through a map and see what is near you, but that takes time. Ooh, 110 items in the United Kingdom, but the first page.
Okay, so home, there's headlines, there's East meets West, Pavel tells us the rest. There's Schengen, a guide to the European border-free zone. So that would be good for everybody to consider.
So it's news headlines about European issues.
Social inclusion and security. Parliament works to boost Europe's cyber security, which we've said something about. Short videos on how the European Parliament and the EU work, which is great. We've used some of those, I think.
Yeah. The European Commission. First up were Maros Sefcovic, Phil Hogan and Maria Gabriel. They've been put forward for the positions of interinstitutional.
And they change because it's just what is current, what is.
And then below there's Europe and me, European elections, Europe near me, Europe and my life, citizen stories, which were the things that we talked about
before.
From
the Nordic lights to the Mediterranean sun, we have freedom of movement for people.
And you should actually mention that each of these sections, so Europe elections, for instance, when you click on that, it says all you need to know about European elections. Now, that's, of course, right first there, but, you know, we're past the recent European elections.
Yeah, so nobody's going to be bothered about those for a little while.
Yeah.
And then underneath that, there's a section of events. So October the 27th was the last event, apparently. Images of another Europe, 1985 to 89. November the 11th, innovation, finding Europe's path to competitiveness. That's going on in Belgium. A day later, European Roundtable, skills for the future of youth work. And then the 19th of November, high-level session on child rights, 30th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, I think. So that's great. So that's events which are European wide, I presume.
Yeah. And I think you can view them all in a list as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can also view them in a map.
Oh, as to where they are and taking place in Europe.
Yes.
So there's one in. So does that mean there's one going on in Liverpool at some point?
No, that's where we are. But, at the moment, there are five happening in Brussels in the next few weeks, and you can click on the little icons and then you see what is going on there.
So it'll give you a map as well, which is kind of useful.
Yeah, exactly. But you can also look at, for instance, when you go directly to the map, you can see loads of items. So if you go to the United Kingdom, there are 110 items. And if we go into our area in the Midlands, there are two items in the Stoke-on-Trent area. At the bottom of the list, also the types of funds that Stoke-on-Trent has received. So European structural investment funds, as well as European social fund. I think I have a feeling that could do with much quicker updating, because the number of events are quite small considering all of the events that are funded by European projects. You know, just alone the research projects have so many events
of their own
involved.
Particular ones. I suppose it depends.
I think it's quite difficult for them, or people putting those into them. Yeah. But, you know, again, as we said, the European Union is evolving, as well as the ways how to communicate with the citizens. So I assume, you know, they are. This is a good step forward, but, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, probably.
Here's the section, ask your European Parliament a question. And so you could actually go there and ask a question and send it to them, and somebody will look at that.
So you just put in what the subject is, and then you have 2,000 words in which to phrase your question. And
you send it off.
Then you send it away, yeah. They right. probably identify who your MEP is, perhaps. I don't know. We haven't actually put in a question, so we don't know where you go on the next thing.
Yeah, and just to point out, here are all the stories in relation to certain, topics like innovation, EU budget, culture, agriculture, things like that.
Great. That is really good.
You can,
again, very useful.
Like certain articles and they would appear in your bookmarks then. And of course, you can search as well.
Right. As you should always be able to do.
So that's the Citizens app by Agile Partner.
Great thing to have on your phone. Brilliant. Okay, two left. And the next one is Eurostat.
Yes.
Statistics from the European Union.
And it's important because there are several of these. This one is called My Region. For anybody who wants to search for it on the App Store, you will have to search for My Region by European Union Apps.
All right. Okay.
Now, we've just opened it and I've already did some settings. So when you open it, you can decide which three regions you want to actually compare. So this is sort of Eurostats, all the stats that the European Union holds on each of the regions. So it's not based on country, but rather on regions.
I'm guessing you've picked Finland, Germany and UK.
Yeah. So I've picked the southern Finland area around Helsinki. The Kassel area, and from the UK, I chose Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent. And the reason for that is because these three areas are sort of a similar size. So I have then on that screen loads of columns that give me stats, because it's all about stats, statistics. So we have population, and there we can see all of these regions are around 1.2 million to 1.6 million. Then it tells me the population density, and I can compare the density to each other. So Shropshire and Staffordshire have the highest density, 261 people per square kilometer, whereas the lowest density is Helsinki, which
in Finland
is 181. Oh, sorry, no, it's not the lowest density. Kassel, area of Kassel has the lowest density.
All right.
147.
Fertility rates, life expectancy. So we are, we're equal second. So the highest life expectancy is in Helsinki, in Finland, with 82.3 years. And we are the same as Kassel on 81.1.
Yeah. But of course, in this screen, I'm just comparing the three regions that I've chosen. Mm-hmm. But it has GDP, it has employment rates, unemployment rates, youth employment, tertiary education attainment, early leavers from education. It has also people at risk of poverty or social exclusion. It has households with broadband access. Also nights spent in tourist accommodation. Also deaths in road accidents and hospital beds.
Right. Okay. Okay. Very interesting.
It is very interesting, especially if you do comparison. But you can go also into each one of those. So if I click on population.
So it'd be brilliant if you were thinking of going to a different area of Europe, perhaps, to spend some time or to live or because of a job or something like that.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's probably not as useful as widely as for the normal citizen as maybe some of the other apps. But, you know, for those who want to just know the statistics of a country and how well we're doing compared to others, then it's quite good. So I clicked now on one aspect. So I clicked on population statistics. And so now you see the whole list of all European regions. And at the top, you know, just the color code of the three regions that I had chosen, but they're in with all of the regions in there. So you see that there, you know, we're somewhere. So Finland is somewhere in the middle. Shropshire and Staffordshire is quite close to Finland. And then Kassel further down. So, but it has something like, 300, 500
in terms
different
of what, population
regions.
Density?
Yes, so this is population.
Oh, just actual total number of people in that region.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
the highest being Istanbul with 15 million in a region? Or is it the whole of Istanbul?
No, but Istanbul is Turkey, so it's a city. So that's the region. So that has the highest. And we can see, for instance, where's London?
Higher up.
Did I not see it?
Well, I was thinking it's got to be higher up because London's about 8 million, I thought. Or maybe it's got the city of London or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. West Midlands, or because it's a region. Mm-hmm. West Midlands is the highest with 2.9 million. So it's not cities, it is regions.
East Anglia comes.
Inner London comes 76th place. Inner London, East Inner London. So they have it divided, so it doesn't look at.
Yeah. It seems a bit strange. Well, you know, it's because East Anglia comes higher up than inner city London. Mm. But then the total number of people in East Anglia is higher. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is, and we've talked about it, how the European Union wants to actually not only look at countries as a whole, it wants to look at the region. And you can see that all of the statistics, this whole app is based around the regions. So I've clicked, of course, on that, and I can see the population of all regions. I can also click on this next icon, and then I see that in a graph. Has the population grown? Has it not? So that's really nice. And then there's also a map in relation to the country itself. So here we have the population of the United Kingdom, and we see in the middle of it the one that we selected, so Shropshire and Staffordshire, 1.6 million. But we see a color code with the dark blue being higher and the light blue being lower.
Right.
So it's quite nifty, I have to say. And I should actually say each of the criteria has a definition. It's on the eye, so you can click on the eye and it says population, the number of persons having their usual residence in a country on 1st of January of the respective year. When usually resident population is not available, countries may report legal or registered residents. And then it has a link to that source of how they calculate that.
Right, okay.
So again, it's quite nifty. Now, this one focuses, as we mentioned, just on regions. And so that's why I wanted to point out there are, it's a sort of trio of apps. And there's another one which focuses on countries and country profiles. The design is slightly different. So I chose the region ones, but there's also one which focuses just on financial indicators or economic indicators. So when I open that one, I can again choose just one country, and that is then compared to the European Union, but it's for the whole country.
European Union average, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so here we also have, again, economic indicators. So inflation, unemployment rate, deficits. I want to choose something which I understand because I'm not really an economic expert. So shall we just use GDP or industrial production?
Okay.
So I guess the productivity. So we see the European Union is slightly.
Industrial production has gone up by 0.1% in the UK, does it?
So these are, there are bar charts of month 5, 6, 7, and 8. It has also that in tabular form.
So that's minus 0.7. So our industrial production has gone down by 0.7%.
Yeah. So you can see that as a map, again, with color coded, you know, which countries in Europe are more productive and which are not, and where we sit within that. You can see that as a bar chart. And look at ours has gone down. As a
last quarter, yeah.
You can see it as a table. And then, of course, again, you can see the definition of industrial production, which is here, if you read that.
The Industrial Production Index shows the output and activity of the industry sector. It measures changes in the volume of output on a monthly basis.
Yeah. So it's similar to the regions, but it just focuses on economic indicators based on country rather than economic regions.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of interesting to if you're into that sort of stuff.
Yes, and it does have also a section where it says news releases. So for instance, the newest release from last Thursday was a report on how satisfied people are with their lives. So there was a questionnaire done overall, how satisfied are you with your life these days? People across the European Union were asked. Life satisfaction represents how a respondent evaluates his or her life taken as a whole. Where do you think, who is on the top?
I would imagine, well, I'm presuming maybe Finland might be high up because they do very well for education and stuff, which I think just sets up the population to feel good about themselves or reasonably good about themselves. I think we're going to be quite low on how happy we are about our lives because we seem to work a lot harder than everybody else in the work for longer hours anyway than people in the other people in the European Union.
So, right, Finland is right there at the top.
Oh, okay, there it is.
and has even increased. You see the light dotted line is 2013 and the yellow line is 2018.
Gone up from 8.0 people out of 10, or 8.0 out of 10 for life satisfaction to 8.1.
Then Austria, Denmark, Poland, Sweden, Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany. Then comes the EU average. Then comes
7.3. And it used to be 7, so the EU average has picked up more than Finland has picked up.
Yeah,
And we are bottom.
No, we're not Bulgaria. Even on there.
All right. Oh, is that because we didn't take part in it?
But countries have to opt in. And of course, I looked at the table, and we did, in 2013, we did have a...
What was our score in 2013?
So in 2013, 7.3.
Okay.
And
which is what the average is now for the European
overall
Union.
Overall life satisfaction, with the European Union average
then was
7.0.
7.0. Okay, so we were reasonably happy in 2000. That was before Brexit, wasn't it? So,
but then we didn't do it in 2018.
Yeah, before the idea of Brexit, or before it hit the whole population anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that Mr. Farage and others were bouncing it around a bit. In 2013.
Yeah, I think there was a lot going on that we didn't really realize.
We were blissfully unaware of. So
okay. So I've got lined up for the next session just to, to whet your appetite.
Okay, the apps for the next session are Taxlandia. That sounds fantastic. Innovation Radar. Okay, TV of Europe, that's going to be a popular one for everybody. Euro's Jobs, EU Advocacy, that's going to be good. And Relocation, which, if Brexit is happening, lots of people might try and use that from Britain, who knows?
Yes, exactly.
If Brexit went ahead.
Yeah, so there's again a game in there, and then there's more serious stuff in there as well.
Okay, super.
Right.
Thank you very much.
We'll leave it at that. If you enjoyed the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Shut up. Do you want to say it again?
So we'll leave it as that. If you enjoyed the show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player.
And enjoy the apps, download the apps, have a look at them, see what you think. Send us a message back if you like them or don't like them or whatever.
Exactly. And the links will be in the show notes. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye.